ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11, चैप्टर 3, एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी। श्लोक नंबर 40 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी। यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणैषणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्त्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृ प्रकाशा यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणैषणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्त्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृ प्रकाश यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणैषणयोरुभक्त्या चेतो मलानि विधमेद् गुणकर्म जानी तस्मिन् विशुद्ध उपलभ्यत आत्मतत्त्वम् साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृ प्रकाश कर्म जानी यथा मलदृशो सवितृ प्रकाश। यर्ह्यब्जनाभचरणैषणयोरुभक्त्या साक्षाद् यथा मलदृशो सवितृ प्रकाश। माताजी अज्जनाभचरणैषणयोरुभक्त्या विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। यर्हि वेन अब्जनाभ ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हुज नेवल इज शेप्ड लाइक ए लोटस चरण द फीट एषणया डिजायरिंग ओनली उरु भक्त्या by powerful devotional service. Cheta of the heart, Malani the dirt, Vidhamet cleanses away. Gunakarma Jani, generated from the modes of nature and material activities in those modes. Tasmin, in that, Vishuddhe, completely purified. Upalabhyate, is perceived. Atma Tattvam, the true nature of the self. Sakshat, directly. Yatha, just as. Amaladrisho, of pure eyes. Savitra, of the sun. Prakashaha, the manifestation. Translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When one seriously engages in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead, fixing the Lord's lotus feet within one's heart as the only goal of life, one can destroy the innumerable impure desires lodged within the heart as a result of one's previous fruitive work within the three modes of material nature. When the heart is thus purified, one can directly perceive both the Supreme Lord and oneself as transcendental entities. Thus one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience. Just as one can directly experience the sunshine through normal, healthy vision. Purport. In the previous verse, it was explained that one can have a preliminary glimpse of the eternal, unchanging soul by remembering one's experience of peacefully sleeping, even while the mind and senses were totally inactive. One may ask, if in deep sleep there is a preliminary experience of the soul, then why upon waking does one return to illusory material existence? It may be answered that because of material desires lodged within the heart, the conditioned soul is addicted to the nishayans of material sense gratification. A prisoner may glimpse through the bars the free light outside the prison window, but still remain captive behind the bars. Similarly, although a conditioned soul may have a glimpse of the spirit soul, he remains captured within the bondage of material desires. Therefore, although one may have a preliminary understanding of the eternal soul that exists within the temporary body, or even of the super soul that accompanies the individual soul within the heart, a specific process is still required to eliminate the cause of material existence, which is material desire. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 8.6, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tamevaiti kaunteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits this body, that state he will attain without fail. According to one's desire at the time of death, a suitable material body is awarded by material nature. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. According to one's fruitive desires and actions, and under the jurisdiction of the representatives of the Lord called demigods, the living entity is awarded a particular material body which is inevitably subject to harassment by birth, death, old age and disease. If one can eliminate the cause of a particular phenomenon, logically, he also eliminates the effect. Therefore, this verse states that one should desire only to achieve shelter at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. One should give up illusory desires for material, society, friendship and love, since such desires cause further material bondage. One should fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, so that without fail one can remember Krishna at the time of death. As the Lord states, अंतकाले च मामेव स्मरन् मुक्त्वा कलेवरम् यह प्रयाति समद्भावम् याति नास्ति अत्र संशयः. Whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Bhagavad Gita 8.5. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the actual shelter for every living being, and the Lord can be directly perceived as soon as one's heart has become transparently clean through Bhakti Yoga. Bhagavad Gita describes the state of achieving the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the words, Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. And sometimes impersonalists falsely interpret these words to be a description of Brahma Sayujyam or impersonal merging into the existence of the Lord. It is clearly mentioned in this verse that one must fix his mind and devotion on the lotus feet of Abjanabha or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the individual living entity were equal to the personality of Godhead, the living entity could simply think of himself in order to be purified. But even then, a contradiction would arise. The personality of Godhead has no need to be purified since he is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Pavitram Paramam or the Supreme Pure. Therefore, one should not artificially try to twist an impersonal meaning out of the statements of the Vedic literature. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I sincerely seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. Before explaining this very thematic verse, which is trying to tell us how it all began, what is the source of all our problems. And then as the translators described, once we know the source of the problem and we eliminate the source, then we can also eliminate the effect that comes from that source. So here it is mentioned how so many of our problems come because of material desires. And in yesterday's class, Madan Gopal Prabhu spoke how it all began. It begins by identification with the material body. And then you identify with the material body, you want objects to feed the material body, so material desires. And there was a line here which says, a specific process is still required to eliminate the cause of material existence, namely material desire. So what is this specific process? This specific process, in our terms, we call as sadhana bhakti. So this is a shloka that is telling us how the root of so many of our problems is material desire, and the way to deal with this material desire is sadhana bhakti. It's all about desire management. One time Srila Prabhupada was asking, how do we go, how do we escape this material world which is like a prison? And then different devotees give different answers. So Prabhupada replied by saying, actually it is by our desire. It is our desire to enjoy this world separate from Krishna that has brought us here. And it is our desire to escape this world that will take us away from this place. So we have come here by our desires. We are currently staying here based on our desires. And we can escape from this world by our desires. Where are those desires manufactured? The mind is a continuous factory, full production, 24/7. When we are waking, in a waking state, so many desires that push us into action. And when we are sleeping, so many desires that are getting produced that push the mental body into action. We dream. We wander around in our subtle body. So the impetus for all our actions, whether it is the physical body or the subtle body, is through desires. And then what is the solution for this? The solution for this, according to some philosophies in this world, is not to deal with the desires, not repression, not control of desires, but they say extinction of desires. Buddhism primarily is based on this philosophy. How to make the desires zero? Eliminate the desires. But we have seen how so many philosophies like Buddhism are based on those principles. For instance, communism is very much borrowed from the principles of Buddhism. China, we see, is primarily a Buddhist country, and that is where is the last country where there are some traces of communism left. So communism means you have so many desires for enjoyment, all those desires are not accepted. The state will tell you, the government will tell you what to enjoy, what not to enjoy. So artificially suppressing those desires. There's this humorous anecdote that in a communist country one time, one person was asked, if you have two cars, should you not share it with your neighbor who does not have a car? So the person said, yes, of course. If you have two homes, should you not share that one home with your neighbor who does not have a home? So yes, of course. If you have two refrigerators, should you not share it with your friend, neighbor who does not have a refrigerator? Of course, yes. If you have two bulls, should you not share it with your neighbor who does not have a bull? He says, no. So why? Because I actually have two bulls. All those other objects that were told before, he did not have. Communism. So in poverty, it's easy to speak about things and concepts of sharing. The test is when you have those objects, then it becomes a matter of choice, not compulsion. So we have seen how in countries like Russia, this artificial control did not work. It lasted for some years and then people, they rebelled. In modern China, which is not exactly pure communism, it is another model of communism called capitalist communism. Actually, it's a misnomer how capitalism and communism can come together. So overall the framework is communist, but there's a lot of independence given to people within that to enjoy. And we know how today the greatest consumer is China. You name it, whether it is steel, whether it is consumer goods, whether it is electronic goods, whatever you say, the highest consumer in the world today is China, not just because of the population, but also because of the facility that is given now, and all those artificially repressed desires are now coming out of the box. And now they are wanting more and more. So there was a survey done of around 60,000 Chinese citizens. And they were asked, what are the 7 most common desires that you have? So this is the outcome of the 7 most common desires of an average Chinese person. And this is the country where communism to some extent is still available. All other countries have rejected it. So the first desire that everyone in China has is looking more beautiful. The second is eating better. Third is better home. Fourth is more mobility or connectivity. Fifth is having more fun. So first was Ahara Nidra Maithun. Now it is having more fun. Sixth is well-being. So it includes 2 things, health and education. And then the 7th most common desire across China, which is largely considered to be a poor country, is to have more luxury. We want more luxury. So it is estimated that 20% of all the global luxury consumption happens in China, which is incidentally considered to be the poorest country. So as soon as you have access, you want to gorge. You want to just stuff yourself with all the luxury items. It means Buddhism, or the philosophy of Buddhism, of artificially controlling your desires, is not the solution. On a very simple level, there's this huge social problem amongst the youth today in our country, and there are many concerns being raised at social levels. Recently in one medical college, there was a panel discussion amongst the dean of the college and many eminent personalities of society, where the topic of discussion is how to deal with this situation today in India, where young boys are attracted to one particular game, which is kind of self-destructive. You sign into that game and it throws some challenges at you. It starts with some simple challenges. And the last challenge, the 50th challenge, there are 50 challenges that come. The 50th challenge is the game dares you. The game asks you, are you ready for this? Do you have the courage to do this? You know what it is? It is to end your own life. So there is this one game that is rampant amongst the youngsters today in Bombay. And all of the citizens, all of the mothers and fathers are scared when they see that smartphone in the hands of their kids, thinking, what if? So this question was asked that do you the Hare Krishna people have any solution for this? What do you think? There's a lot of discussion going on amongst parents. So one thing that came to our mind in response to this is, why would somebody of young age, now when a terminally ill patient, when somebody who has been told by the doctor, now you don't have any life, 3 months, 4 months, somebody who's lost his legs, some important parts of the body in some fatal accident, and now he's lifeless, he's actionless, somebody who's undergone a big mental tragedy in his life, when such a person thinks of ending his life, at least there is some connection. We feel, oh, he's depressed. But when a young boy, a young girl, aged 20, 21, intelligent, educated, financially rich, when they talk of ending their own life for no good reason. For what? There is a line on the smartphone in a game which tells them, can you do it? And just to answer that line on the smartphone, they are even thinking of doing it. And one person in Bombay, just recently, a 14-year-old boy, he actually did it. That's how it came to light. Why would somebody who's fit, who's intelligent, who's equipped, why would he do it? So one can say, there's no proper engagement, there's no positive engagement for all that energy. Energy has to be engaged. Intelligence has to be engaged. The mind needs engagement. If somebody who is physically fit, somebody who is mentally fit, somebody who is very intelligent, and he is not given any engagement, what will he do with his body? Either he will be lazy, waste the body, or he will do something destructive with the body. You have a very smart mind, but you are not given suitable objects of meditation. Contemplate how to help others, how to be kind-hearted. Introspect. If that is not given, then he is thinking about so many negative things. You have a very sharp brain, IQ level very high, but you are not given suitable problems to solve. You will end up solving some petty problems. One time His Holiness Devamrit Swami Maharaj visited IIT Bombay, and then he was talking to the students, and then he also challenged them. He also dared them. He said, all of you think that you are the most intelligent people, and you think you can solve some technical problems, mathematical problems, physics, chemistry and like that. Why don't you come out in the real world and solve the social problems? There are so many social problems out there. We need intelligent people to solve the social problems. And if you can dare to do that, that's some test of your intelligence. Not just some writing some mathematical formula and trying to solve matter. You are dealing with matter. Why don't you deal with live spirit? How do you deal with people who are nice, intelligent, but misdirected? They don't know what is the real goal of life. They don't have any desire management. So usually we take pride in the modern world that today we have a very much better equipped world. Yes, externally it is very much equipped, but internally it is more and more hollow. As I say, guided missiles and misguided men. So, how do we deal with this? To one extent, you know, in the 11th canto, in the song of the Avanti Brahman, I was shocked. I was reading the 11th canto and in one shloka it was mentioned how the mind, Avanti Brahman is talking about the mind, he says, Bhishmo hi devaha sahasah sahiyan. So Bhishmo means very obstinate, very strong. Devabrat was obstinate, he was strong. So that's why Bhishma. So in describing the mind, the word uses Bhishma, the Bhishma. Mind is very obstinate. And you know what is the word? Hi devaha. So I saw the translation for the word devaha. The word deva is translated almost like God. So if you read the translation of the shloka, it mentions the mind with its God-like power. The mind is described as so powerful, it is almost God-like power. And this is the shloka, this is not a purport. Can you imagine the power of the mind that in the Bhagavatam it is described, the mind is almost as powerful as God. Why is it as powerful as God? God is the supreme controller, Ishvara Parama. Similarly, mind also, for all practical matters, is controlling all of us. In this world, Ishvara Parama. Within the material world, mind is such a strong controlling force, directing force. Mind tells us what to do. Mind tells us what not to do. We read scriptures, but we feel, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. Mind, I understand. You are a Vaishnava, I understand. You will accept scriptures. If I tell you to reject scriptures, you will reject me. So the mind, for a person who is out there, who has not yet started the process of sadhana bhakti, it convinces him to reject the scriptures. What about devotees? It convinces the devotees to, well, maybe, you know, this shloka is too much for you. Maybe you should check out that another shloka which is little soft, which gives you some more space. and still gives you a facility to call yourself a Vaishnava? We have heard of Niyama Agraha and we have heard of Niyama Agraha. Both are impediments. So non-devotees, they get caught up in Niyama Agraha. I will not accept any rules and regulations. And devotees get caught up in Niyama Agraha, that I will stick to follow rules and regulations. So it's good. To follow rules and regulations is good. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he is speaking on Niyama Agraha, he gives a very nice understanding of Niyama Agraha. He says, there are different stages of advancement in Sadhana Bhakti. We are talking of Sadhana Bhakti. And he says, for every stage, there are different do's and don'ts. So, today for me, at one stage, there are some do's and some don'ts, and I should stick to them as a good sadhaka, as a sincere sadhaka. But he says, in the due course of advancement, because sadhana bhakti acts, sadhana bhakti purifies. Or sometimes, because of the instructions of our superiors, we have a facility to go to the next stage. Their niyama agraha manifests itself by saying, I will not follow the do's and don'ts of that stage. I will stick. I will continue following the do's and don'ts of the previous stage. So in the beginning, in our path, maybe some of our guides told us, this is good for you, this is not good for you. And then 5 years later, we have advanced. And we are not following niyama agraha. We follow all the rules. But then we follow the rules in our own way. I will decide which rules to follow, I will decide which rules not to follow. But that is niyama agraha. You go to the other extreme. So, it's always good to take superior guidance. So just like one niyama agraha is to follow rules and regulations of the previous stage. Because I am more familiar with those do's and don'ts. There is also another variation of niyama agraha, that I think I am more advanced than what I am, and I stick to the do's and don'ts of the advanced stage. So some people are caught up in niyama agraha, some people are caught up in niyama agraha where they stick to some lower rules and regulations, they are not willing to advance. And some personalities stick to niyama agraha by behaving more holier than what they are, by behaving more advanced than they are. And in this way, Maya is tricking different people in different way, and we stay who we are, not able to manage our desires, not able to deal with our own problems. In one place in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna is describing to Uddhava. He speaks, Sve sve adhikare ya nishtha sa guna parikirtita. So when I was reading Bhakti Vinod Thakur's explanation, in this shloka, Sve sve adhikare ya nishtha sa guna parikirtita. Krishna also speaks to Uddhava in this shloka, something similar. Uddhava asks him a question. See, you are saying how, you know, real, the most important thing to do is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And because Uddhava Gita is a more detailed version of the conversation between a devotee and the Supreme Lord, there is more questions. So Uddhava asks a question, see, if you always talk about devotional service, devotional service, devotional service, what is the use of piety and impiety in this world? Everyone will start saying, oh, I want to worship the Supreme Lord directly, and then there is no piety and then there is no impiety. Nothing is right and nothing is wrong. There is no good and there is no bad. Why? Because everyone is saying, actually in my heart, I am worshipping the Supreme Lord. See, Krishna spoke in the Gita, worshipping the Supreme Lord. So how will this world run? Practical question. To paap aur punya sahi galat kuch hai ki nahi? He asks Krishna. So Krishna says, I'll tell you what is piety. In this shloka he says, you know what is piety? Piety is, not all the different definitions of piety that we have. Piety is, whatever position you are, you follow the do's and don'ts of that stage. This is piety. This is one line definition of piety by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. And what is impiety? Impiety is, you do not follow the do's and don'ts of your situation. Sometimes you follow the do's and don'ts of the lower situation. Sometimes you pretend to follow the do's and don'ts of a higher situation. This is impiety. So we may be appearing to be in devotional service, but according to Uddhava Gita, saying, you are following the rules and regulations, but of whom? And if you do not follow the proper rules and regulations of what you are supposed to do, Krishna is saying it is impiety. So these are our challenges of a sadhana, sadhaka bhakta. How to always identify the right thing? How to never veer away from the path in any direction? So in Gita, there is one very nice shloka in the third chapter. Swadrisham, sadrisham cheshtate swasya, prakriter jnanavan api. Usually we think, my problems will be solved, what is right, what is wrong will be solved by more knowledge. I think I need to spend more time with the books. Yes, we need to spend more time with the books. But not with the written alphabets, with the understanding of the books. We need to spend time not only with the books, but with the teacher of those books, who will explain to us how this verse applies in our situation, not up, not down, not below, not above. So he says, very interestingly, he says, prakriter jnanavan api. Api means even if. So Krishna uses the word, if you read the translation of this shloka, this is 3.34 or 3.5. He says, it starts with, even a man of knowledge, even a man of knowledge follows his own nature dictated to him by the three modes of material nature. So he says, prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. What is the use of artificially repressing your desires? Now many people in this world, they take advantage of this shloka, especially those who want to reject any rules and regulations. Just see, Krishna is saying nigraha kim karishyati. Just see, Krishna is saying there is no need to control your desires, just follow your desires. I want to do this sinful activity, let me do it. Krishna is saying nigraha kim karishyati. But right in the next shloka, we also see the context. Right in the next shloka, Krishna says, every one of us has to be careful with two stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. Raga dvesha vyavasthito. He says, one is attachment and one is aversion. So why am I doing what I like to do? Is it because of attachment? Then it is a stumbling block. That's not what Krishna is saying. But why am I doing this? Oh, I am doing because it is right. I am doing it because it is something that I am supposed to do. I am doing this because I am told to do by superiors. Yes, then it is right. So if I am doing something which seems to be right and I have 100 reasons why it is right, but if I am doing it based on the raga and dvesha, if I am avoiding something out of dvesha, if I am accepting something out of raga, Krishna says they are stumbling blocks. So nigraha kim karishyati is not some kind of a sanction for doing what we want to do. He is talking about artificially trying to suppress, not dealing with the solution, avoiding the solution. There is a problem, I don't deal with the problem, and I say, see, there's no point in repressing, there's no point in dealing, there's no point in controlling, just let me fall prey to it. That's not what Krishna is saying. So in that purport to that shloka, the last two lines, Prabhupada speaks. If you read that purport, Prabhupada explains it, in the theme of that purport is, we should never try to artificially repress our desires, but then the other extreme is, do what you want. No. He gives the path in between. He says, you deal with your desires under superior guidance. So Prabhupada writes, it is better to be situated in one's position and to try to attain Krishna consciousness under superior training. Thus, one may be freed from the clutches of Krishna's Maya. I really like this word, Krishna's Maya. Usually when we read such lines, then it is, in this way one will be freed from Maya. Many times we hear, this is how one gets freed from the illusory energy. Freedom. Liberation from the illusory energy. Here, Prabhupada very nicely writes, in this way one may be freed from the clutches of Krishna's Maya. Yes, Maya controls everyone, but this Maya also has a master, Krishna. How do you deal with Maya? How do you deal with desires? Not by fighting with Maya. Life is not meant for fighting Maya. Life is meant for embracing Krishna. Life is meant for loving Krishna. And in loving Krishna, because it is Krishna's Maya, Krishna may subdue it for us. But when will Krishna subdue his Maya for us? He has to see some strong desire in us. Why will he bend the rules? He is given the jurisdiction of the material energy to Maya. He is saying, you Durga Devi, you control the material world. Why would he change a rule that he himself has made? Unless the prisoner shows some very strong signs, he is not happy with the situation. Most of us are happy with the situation, the ill treatment that Maya Devi gives us, we tolerate it. We say, kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. Hota hai, ye to jeevan ka. This is the cycle of life. We have so many terms to describe it. But somebody who says, I don't want this kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. I want sat, chit and ananda. I deserve it. It is my birthright. I am supposed to be somewhere else. So Krishna, when he sees the seriousness, then he may deal with the clutches of his maya for us. And in this way we can get liberation from the illusory energy. And that's why in this shloka it is mentioned, only when we situate the Supreme Lord in our heart and we do sadhana bhakti, that is following the rules and regulations under superior training, under superior guidance, then only we can hope of achieving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in our heart, which is finally the ultimate solution. The spiritual master gives many instructions to many people, but then everything is medicine. So the doctor, when he gives one patient one medicine and he gives another patient another medicine, what if the first patient is attracted to the second patient's medicine? Will not do any good. Sometimes another person's medicine can be like poison to us. So the doctor gives custom made medicine to every single person. And that's why it's very important for us to understand what is medicine for me, how to take that medicine, the dosage is different, the way in which it is supposed to be taken is very different. And that is what is sadhana bhakti. What is the result of the guru's training for us? Let's say we accept guru's training. How will we deal? Is that the real way of desire management? Yes. So I have written down some few desires here which could come in our heart and how they could be dealt with under superior training. What if I have less money? What if I am poor? Spiritual master will help me deal with it by explaining to me how. Most probably, because of my uncontrolled mind, I would have misspent it. That's why Krishna has given me less money. What if I have plenty of money? The spiritual master trains me to use that money in Krishna's service. There are many things to be done for providing facilities to Krishna, for providing facilities to the devotees, for providing facilities for outreach. It requires money. So he trains me to see the dualities of this world. What if I am really a very famous person? Spiritual master trains me. Maybe, you know, it's difficult for me to accept that I am a nobody. I need some appreciation. I need some people to clap. So that's why Krishna has given me some fame, and maybe I should use it in Krishna's service. What if I suffer from infamy? What if something happens and I fall down from my situation? Then the spiritual master still gives me shelter. Spiritual master does not reject me. In whatever situation I am, spiritual master shelter is always there. So spiritual master trains me to see that situation, that a very hard situation. Maybe you are thinking you are proud on your own. Maybe your false ego was increasing, so Krishna deflated that false ego just for some time. Rise again. Continue chanting, continue serving, continue pleasing, and you can again be reinstated in your pure position. What if I have a disease? Spiritual master trains me to understand, in a diseased condition, I am physically inactive. I can't do many of the services that usually I tell people, you know what, Prabhu, morning I am busy with this service. Prabhu, afternoon I am busy with this service. Prabhu, evening can you come? Evening also I have this service. So I fill up my whole day with Rajoguna and tell people, actually it is seva. But many times the mood of the seva is not there. Many times it is what I want to do in a way which I want to do. Many times it is my choice. So again, it is Rajo. So when I am physically incapacitated by a disease, it gives me a lot of time for introspection. Where did I start? Where am I? Am I actually doing service for pleasing, or am I doing service because I want to do it in a particular way? So I need some time for reflection. Spiritual master trains me how to see diseased condition also. What if I am a very healthy person? Spiritual master trains me to understand how to be grateful to the Supreme Lord for giving me health. This body is a tool that can be used very nicely in Krishna service. A good, well maintained car can be a very good tool in taking us to different holy places. So this body is like a car. What if I am a very lonely person? Spiritual master trains me to understand, maybe you forgot that you had an ever well-wishing friend right in your heart in every moment, so you are never alone. I am complaining to the whole world, I am feeling lonely. Spiritual master asks me this question, did you ever try to connect to the first friend who accompanied you when you entered the material world? The Paramatma was there. So no, actually I never tried to connect to my original friend. What if my life is full of friends? Everyone is my friend. I am a very popular person. Spiritual master trains me to understand how the Supreme Lord is manifesting in my life through the friendships of so many well-wishing devotees, God brothers, Vaishnavas, who will catch my hand and tell me, Prabhu, I think you should restrain yourself. So many times we read about the Supreme Lord, how Supreme Lord is anasakta. One devotee was explaining how Krishna speaks about Nishkam Karma Yoga, but Krishna himself is the first Nishkam Karma Yogi. He comes to this world, he instructs, nobody follows. Again he comes, again he instructs. So he is not, you know, Karmani Eva Adhikaraste. So Krishna is kind of a detached person. So who will tell us again and again, Prabhu, he is detached and he is explaining to you, but you cannot be detached in accepting his instructions, you have to be attached to him. It is the spiritual master. It is the representatives of the spiritual master. So we may be detached from so many things, but we cannot be detached from devotees, we cannot be detached from spiritual master. One example that can help us to understand this is, there is wind, wind blows, sometimes there is a fire of wood, and after it has burnt, there are some ashes there, the remnants of that fire, and there is little amount of fire still there within that wood. But as wood burns, there is ash that forms, and that ash actually blocks the flow of oxygen to the fire. So after some time, when you light a fire of wood, it is regularly needed to dust off that ash. If you see some woman cooking on wood, she will regularly take off that ash. So at that time, if there is some wind, a gentle wind comes, it actually helps the fire. The ash is blown off and the fresh oxygen that comes from the air, it actually lights up that fire. But the same wind, imagine there is a lamp and wind comes, it actually blows off the lamp. So is wind friendly to the fire or is wind anti-fire? None of these. The wind has nothing to do with the fire. The wind is just flowing on its own. Somebody who can take advantage of the fire, takes advantage of the fire and burns. That lamp does not know the art of taking advantage of the fire, so the fire extinguishes the lamp. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, he comes, he speaks at his own will. Yes, he says, yada yada hi dharmasya. But then there were people, even when he came personally, even when he spoke, who heard the Gita? We think it is Arjuna heard the Gita. Did Dhritarashtra hear the Gita? Yes. The first shloka and the last shloka is Sanjay speaking to Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra also heard the Gita, Arjuna also heard the Gita, Sanjay also heard the Gita, Vyas also heard the Gita. And some others also heard the Gita, but at least in the Bhagavad Gita itself, there are four references of listeners of the Gita. What was Arjuna's response? Karishya Vachanam Tava. What is Vyasa's response? So not only Karishya Vachanam Tava, I will write it down so that in the future also Karishya Vachanam Tava. What is Sanjay's response? Sanjay is just enjoying. Rishyami cha muhur muhur. My hair are standing on end. I am just so happy. Dharmam samvadam avayo. And what is Dhritarashtra's response? Fear. Dhritarashtra is thinking, oh my God, he is Supreme Lord. He showed the universal form and he is on the side of the Pandavas. What will happen to my children? Four personalities heard the Bhagavad Gita from the same Supreme Lord. What is the response? The response is different from each other. It means We all may be also hearing the Bhagavad Gita, the same Bhagavad Gita, but our responses can be different based on our consciousness, based on our desires. Dhritarashtra was attached, so he heard the Gita and it caused fear. Vyasdev is a literary incarnation, he heard the Gita and it produced compassion in his heart. He wrote it down for the future generations. Arjuna is a devotee, he wants a reason to surrender to Krishna, he wants a reason to listen to Krishna, he wants a reason to thank Krishna. So when he hears the Gita, he says, how can I, I'm really grateful to you. And Sanjay is also Vyasa Prasadat, he also received the mercy of Vyas, but he's just enjoying the moment. He's somebody who takes darshan of the Lord and he's just happy to see the beautiful form of the Lord, but he does not, think about, can I do something more with it? So spiritual master is, we call, Vyasa Puja. He's the representative of Vyasdev. So not only he hears the Bhagavad Gita, he makes an extensive plan to preach the Bhagavad Gita to others in the future. That's why our hope is less in Krishna, who is detached, like the wind keeps flowing, but our hope is more in the spiritual master and his instructions, which will teach us how never to extinguish yourself from the wind, but to always take advantage of the wind and benefit from the wind. There was this mention about how we should always have the Supreme Lord in our heart. Requires training. In one conversation on this theme of artificially repressing, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he asks Prabhupada, what do you think about just controlling, just isolating somebody? Prabhupada says, that does not work. We don't believe in artificially repressing our desires. And Prabhupada gave a very simple example. Prabhupada says, just like there is that movie called Tarzan. He is a human child, but right from his childhood, he was born and raised by monkeys, apes. So he imitated the apes. He talks, walks, swings like apes. It's a question of training. Prabhupada spoke in a very simple way. Prabhupada spoke. Similarly, if we can train right from the beginning years, how to take advantage of association of pure devotees, pure teachers, then even the most contaminated person can also be changed, he can be trained. It's a question of training. And how early do you give that training? So imagine some kid who receives Vaishnava association, a genuine Vaishnava association, he gets transformed. In that Nigraha Kim Karishyati Shloka, there is a purport by Bhakti Baldev Vidyabhushan. Baldev Vidyabhushan says, what about people, what about people who are impure? So, there is this thought that, like in some class, some days back there was a, what if a thief is a habitual thief? So should he not be imprisoned? You catch him stealing, should he not be imprisoned? Yes, he should be imprisoned. Then, you are saying that artificially repressing won't work, he needs superior training. So imprisonment is actually, you are binding him. You are isolating him from what he wants to do, which can be compared to artificial repression. And what we are talking of training is, you train somebody right from his childhood, you train somebody from his early years in engaging in positive activities. How to nicely utilize your mind, how to nicely utilize your body, how to nicely utilize your intelligence. So there appears to be a contradiction here. Because in practical terms, we do punish a criminal, which is creating a situation where he can't do what he wants to do. And the concept of training is a concept where you are giving positive alternatives to somebody who has ill thoughts. So Baldev Vidyabhushan very nicely balances these three. He says, artificial repression can work for somebody who is contaminated to a less extent. जो अभी अभी चोरी करना शुरू हुआ है, एक दो चोरी किया है, उसको आप डांटो, फटकारो, थोड़ा सख्त सजा दो, वो छोड़ देगा. Why? The impressions on his heart are very shallow. So somebody with little impurity in his heart can be corrected by nigraha, can be corrected by isolating him. Then he says, somebody who is pure, he can also be elevated to a higher status by giving him knowledge. Because he understands how to utilize that knowledge for his benefit. He never utilizes that knowledge in a negative way. Knowledge is also a double-edged sword. The terrorists use knowledge in a particular way and the police people use knowledge in a particular way. And then he says, but this nigraha, this repression concept is not good for people who are deeply having wrong impressions. Somebody who has been stealing for the last 20 years, somebody who is a habitual thief for the last 30 years, if you try to isolate him, actually, you know, we know of criminals, they were put in a prison. And they were put in a prison in the mood of nigraha. Khala nigrahanaya sadrakshanaya, that is the motto of Maharashtra police. Sadrakshanaya, to protect the pious, and khala nigrahanaya. So when they were put in the prison, instead of learning how this situation, this restrictive situation is a punishment, actually they formed more connections with other criminals in the prison. Because the prison is a place for all criminals. So they formed alliances. So bahar jayenge jab hum, to bahar milke karenge abhi. Aur achche se karenge. Pichle bar maine akele nahi kiya, to main pakda gaya. Why? He is totally drenched in the mood of harming others. So this nigraha works for those who are just beginners. Knowledge works for those who are pure. What about people who have spent not just years, lifetimes in a mood of, in this today's context, enjoying this material world? Millions and millions of living entities in this world today have spent millions of lifetimes trying to go against Krishna's desire and trying to enjoy Krishna's maya, Krishna's material world. How do you deal with it? The only solution for somebody who is deeply in a particular mentality is he needs association of a pure devotee. He needs association of a person who not only speaks the principles, but he lives by the principles. So certain advancement happens when you look at a person who speaks very high principles. And that is the beginning of devotional service. When we come and listen to a class where very nice principles are being explained, but then when you elevate yourself by some inspiration to a particular level, the journey ahead, the journey home will be when you see that same person who's speaking those principles living by those principles. Many times, many people come to devotional service by hearing the principles that they hear from a speaker, which are very true, which are very attractive, which are very eternal. But their advancement stops at a particular point when they see that the person who speaks is not following the principles that he speaks. The best situation is when a person speaks very high principles, but also lives by those principles. That is a sure shot success to continuous, stable advancement. So nigraha kim karishyati, it's not that we are against nigraha, it's not that we are against prisons, it's not that we are against any correction facility. But we are saying only correction, only punishment does not work for those who are deeply entrenched in that mentality. Many times when terrorists in this country are punished, it actually creates more rebellious mood in them. Yes, if he's a beginner terrorist, he gets scared. If he's a very thick terrorist, actually the more he's punished, the more he becomes rebellious and more evil become his plans of taking revenge. In such cases, the only solution is how they can be engaged in positive activities and how there can be a system for training under superior guidance by pure personalities. So, one word in the shloka here, it is used in the first line, is Uru Bhaktya. Uru Bhaktya, it's not Bhaktya, it's Uru Bhaktya. Uru means strong, powerful, intense devotional service. And sadhaka bhaktas usually don't do intense devotional service. Intense devotional service, strong devotional service, committed devotional service is done by exalted devotees. So actually the solution to all the impressions that we have accumulated for so many millions of years is yena kena prakarena. We have to learn the art of taking advantage of the anasakta wind, anasakta supreme lord. How to benefit? Which instructions are good for me? Which instructions I will accept 5 years from now? So this is superior training that can clear all the impressions in our heart. And that is the real desire management by sadhana bhakti that is spoken of in today's shloka. We'll end here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda ki jai, Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai.